Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commission Court meeting for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. It is 10:31 a.m. And we will begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Weaver, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Sumner.
Lord God, King of heaven and earth, direct our minds and bodies throughout this day so that we may say and do things that are pleasing to you. Forgive us when we fail you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will begin our agenda today with item number 13. I may consider approved specifications for invitation to bid for phase 6, first time sanitary sewer improvement project for Jefferson County under the Community Development Block Grant funding. And B is execute receipt file contract renewal for legal notices to Jefferson County for a second 1-year renewal with Beaumont Enterprise, the examiner, and court office news from February 17, 2021 to February 16, 2022. Item C is consider an approved execute receipt file amendment number 5 for the master services agreement for professional services with Barber LLC for the preparation of design drawings and specifications to carry out bidding phase services for rehabilitation, realignment of taxiway A at the Jack Bruce Regional Airport for a lump sum amount of $228,100 in accordance with the request for qualifications for professional engineering services for Jack Bruce Regional Airport. And this project is funded by Airport Improvement Project Grant number 35. Item D is to discuss and possibly approve the county purchasing agent into contract negotiations for request for proposal for the wage and compensation study for Jefferson County. Item E is to consider and approve execute receipt file professional services agreement for E. Sullivan Advertising and Design to be appointed marketing and communications agents for Jefferson County Regional Airport commencing February 1st, 2021 and ending September 30th, 2021. Not to exceed $40,000 for marketing and promotion to the airport through budgeted funds. Item F is to consider approve execute receipt file and agreement with Lexington Nexus in Jefferson County for a advanced online access subscription for County Court of Law number 1 for a period of 1 year at a cost of $83 per month. Item G is consider and approve execute receipt and file an agreement with Spectrum in Jefferson County for standard cable service with one digital receiver and television service for Commissioner Precinct 1, 4th floor office located at 1149 Pearl Creek in Beaumont at a cost of $7.99 per month. Item H is consider and approve disposition of thousands of properties authorized by local government code section 263.1523. Broken or obsolete items. Motion on those items under purchase.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Fear, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Moving on to County Auditor, item A is consider and approve budget amendment for the jail for cost for inmate housing that's downtown in the amount of $84,000. For leaf board and lodging, item B is considered approved budget amendment for Road Bridge Precinct 3 for the purchase of a laptop. Item C is considered approved budget transfer for Comfortable Precinct 1 dues for range membership in the amount of $400. Item D is regular county bills check numbers 479678 through 479907. Item E is regular county bills check numbers 479908 through 480045. And via addendum, item F is to receive and file Jefferson County Community Supervision Corrections Department audited financial statements for the year ended August 31st, 2020. And item G is to receive and file the financial statements for the Texas Juvenile Justice Department grant fund for the year ended August 31st, 2020. Do I have a motion on those items under auditor?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Sinegal. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Clerk, we have one item. Considering possibly approve HQ receiving file election services contracts and lease agreements with the City of Beaumont, Port of Beaumont, Beaumont ISD, Port Arthur ISD, Port of Port Arthur Navigation Districts, being passed Port Authorities, being passed ISD, and the City of Port Arthur for the administration of the May 1st, 2021 election. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second. Second by Commissioner Pierce, second by Commissioner Austin. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge. Ms. Goodness, last meeting I asked you about the cost. I know we have a standard cost that we, but
yes,
there's going to be some COVID costs related to conducting, especially in the sub courthouse and those buildings. Did you add that, or how are we handling that?
Yes, Commissioner. We will, all of the costs for the May election will be borne by these political subdivisions and not borne by the county at all. We will attach the billing for any items that we ordered, including sanitizer and extra light for cleaning machines and sanitizing locations. Those will all be billed to these entities.
Right, and we have a day porter type lady that wipes down everything. It's worked great. So, I mean, I think, Patrick, we need to look into that too. But for that early election as well as election day, that's going to create a lot of traffic in there. So I don't know how we do it, but I just want to make sure.
If you can give me the billing, just like for courthouse security, any security that is for the election, if you can give me an invoice for that, then we can include that in the billing.
Well, they're fair, but I mean, it's going to increase a work. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? As having under County Commissioners, I may consider possibly approve and authorize the county judge to extend the declaration of local disaster dated March 13, 2020, pursuant to Section 418.10B of the Texas Government Code. I may consider possibly approve a resolution to renew and extend the disaster declaration for Hurricane Delta. Item C is consider possibly approve extending the disaster declaration for Hurricane Laura. Item D is consider possibly approve a resolution in opposition to Senate Bill 234, House Bill 749, regarding efforts to silence county officials, I should say city officials.
Elected officials.
Item E is consider possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute the contract for the sale of the Port of Park and any all documents necessary for the transfer of the Port of Park property. Item F is consider possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute the annual renewal agreement between Jefferson County and the National Museum of the United States Air Force for the airplane located at Veterans Park. Item G is consider possibly approve an application for a total of 16 advanced warning equipment LOT flood inundation sensors offered by the Texas Department of Emergency Management and FEMA that may be utilized by commissioners within their respective precincts and areas of flood concern. Via addendum, item A, considering possibly approve extending the declaration of disaster issues for the winter storm of last week. Do I have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Commissioner, moved by Commissioner Pierce, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge. On item G, what's the cost associated with that and annual maintenance of those sensors?
There's no cost associated with it. FEMA is providing those TVM. I think the cost to FEMA was about $2,500 per sensor, but they will be at no cost to the county. There is some connectivity with Verizon for monitoring of it. Verizon is providing that free of charge through July of 2022. So there's no cost to the county through 2022, July of 2022. I would hope that working with our drainage districts, the commissioners will be able to come to some kind of interlocal or something, work with the drainage districts for monitoring through a single system as opposed to having that. But we had a deadline on when we had to tell them how many we wanted. And we will work with the drainage district to try to work out those details.
I had a conversation with Drain District 7 and spoke with Phil, Kelly, and Deb about that and some strategic locations, particularly in my precinct that are prone to flooding. And we had some discussion on that, and I think there'll be future discussions about that. It appears to me, reading about these sensors, you know, the best place for these to be mounted is in a concrete lined ditch. And, you know, that's one of the things that you indicated, had those discussions with Drain District 6. And it's my understanding that it sends a signal to the cell phone to alert when those levels get high enough to warrant, you know, barricading the road or something like that. Is the billing set up through auditing? Is that how that would come about at some point, or what are...
Well, there's no billing yet, so we'll have to make a decision prior to sometime in the month or two prior to July of 2022 as to whether or not we want to continue the program.
And Commissioner, the Drainage District already have some locations where they're monitoring already, so it would be conducive to us, and that's what we talked to DB6 about, to have a dual, because it's always better to double check yourself than the world.
Right.
Or have all the citizens.
Well, I mean, the way I envision it is, you know, we'll get some calls of some neighborhoods that are prone to a good 3-4 inch rain. You got water rising. The water will not exactly get into the homes, but for example, Central Boulevard, we get called when the rain comes up to above the ditches because the vehicles will end up pushing water into someone's home. So if we could be out there in advance to set those barricades up, and I see how this would be a good notification system for that. But I think the Drainage District play a huge role with their concrete ditches.
Somebody to do that. I don't understand. How does that happen? Explain that to us so we can try to understand.
I wish I could.
Okay.
But some people overpay their taxes, and when they do, we have to send them a refund. I have no idea, why the overpayment occurred. And also on the second item, that is to allow another business to be able to provide registrations as well as inspections. So it's a one-stop shop. Mid County Lube is the only one who's done it so far, but we did a new story a while back, and so I'm hoping that there will be more businesses that will provide this for our citizens so that they only have to go one place to get their inspection and the registration at the same time.
Yeah, it happens not only with property taxes, it sometimes happens with sales taxes. We've had circumstances where we had $600,000 in sales taxes clawed back by the state because a big industrial concern will pay sales taxes on a purchase, which turns out to be exempt, and then file a correction, and that sometimes causes problems. But we haven't had much of that happen in the last year or two, thankfully. But in any event, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And that completes our regular agenda. We'll now open it up for public comment. For anyone who's in the courtroom, you may come to the lectern. If someone is online, you need to press *6 to unmute your line. Our first owner turned over to the emergency management coordinator, Mike White, to give us a report.
Judge, I was going to give the commissioner's court an update on the vaccination hub and about where we are right now. So we expect to get our third allocation of 11,000. It'll probably come in today. When it comes in, that's going to be up to the carrier. But that'll put us at 33,000 doses for the hub. As of right now, we've given out 17,028. So we're behind by about 5,000, but we're behind because of a little ice storm we had, which put us 6 days behind on vaccination. A couple of the jurisdictions that were doing vaccines were able to do like 100 here and 100 there, but for the most part, we're 6 days behind. I spoke with Dishes on that. They said it's not an issue because the whole state's behind by about 6 days. So.
Okay, that's 17,000 out of 33,000 since we stood up the hub and began getting that. Now, prior to that time, we had actually in our region given out about 17,000 doses over a longer period of time because we were getting fewer doses. So,
So the total amount
has definitely, and I appreciate the work emergency management did on that, standing up the hub concept and getting everybody in Southeast Texas online with that, but it's definitely led to a significant increase in the number of vaccines available to us. Talk a little bit about the Texas military and how that might assist as we move forward.
So currently, due to the fact that we are behind some, and some jurisdictions are a little bit farther behind than others, we have the option to request Texas military forces to come in. And I've already spoke with those jurisdictions, and if that's what they need, then we can put in a request to the state for that assistance. They said we can get it, so if we can, then that's what we're going to do. I believe it'll work. We're really not behind by much when you look at the numbers.
Yeah, I think everybody's done a good job getting it out. We saw some lower numbers that were concerning yesterday down in Port Arthur. Of course, Port Arthur had last week lost virtually all water service south of Highway 73.
And that's who I've spoken with specifically about bringing in Texas military forces. I would like to thank our public health people with the county, specifically Crystal Jones, Rachel Dugalski, and Vicki McIntyre. They literally drop everything they're doing to come out and issue vaccine. And they're working with the other jurisdictions very well. So they have actually done a fantastic job.
I'm meeting with them Thursday, and what I brought to the court a couple of weeks back, a week back, I think we missed them, and that is that there's areas that are hard to get to. The mobile unit will be going to those. I understand there was a call yesterday in reference to something that you guys have talked to them about, but I've already talked to them about. They're setting up to do those locations where we already have and had in the past gone to the different precincts so we can make it accessible to those people in the rural areas or wherever they need.
But we still have to follow the priorities of 65 and older and the 1A, 1B. We've got a list of 65 and older that are out in the county, and so those will be the first priority with the mobile van. But I've been talking with them, and I think we have a pretty good plan on how to deal with that.
We'll be meeting with them Thursday.
Wonderful. Okay. Subject to questions?
Yeah, quick. Mike, I kind of have a question, but on another subject. Thank you for helping get the water yesterday. The city of Nome was very appreciative because they're still in the bowl of water, and we delivered it yesterday. So.
Yeah, I thank emergency management for that. There was a lot of work that went in working with local industry to get water to Port Arthur and surrounding areas. There was a C-130 that came in with 24. Pallets of water yesterday. Some of those were distributed to Harden County, but the bulk of them.
Right now, we're sort of managing the water that came in for the state right now for this area. So,
hopefully, everybody's going to be getting their plumbing fixes. They experienced problems last week, and from the looks of things, at the hardware store on Saturday, there are a lot of people experiencing those issues, and be a good time to be a plumber.
Everybody now knows what a shark bite is.
Let me rephrase what I just said. We're managing some of the water from the state that's coming in, not the water from the state.
All right. So, any public comment to be had here at the lectern or anyone online, please press star 6, Ms. Gibbs.
I just want to publicly thank the maintenance department for coming to our aid at the Mid-County Tax Office last week. We had a major pipe burst and had everything flooded, messed up some of our machines, and the guys were out there immediately, and I just want to publicly thank them for getting us operational to where we could open back up on Monday.
Yeah, last week during the storm, I was driving the court out very, very slowly, and I had on a baseball cap, and I guess I looked like a bum. And so when I heard about the Mid-County office, I drove down there where I could see what had happened, and there were two cars there and a law enforcement vehicle. And I knocked on the door, and they looked at me and wouldn't let me in.
Good. I don't know if everybody's met Michelle. Would you stand up? It's Michelle Fage. She's going to be your new county engineer, and we're certainly glad to have her on.
Judge, Commissioners, if I could have a moment, just wanted to share some things. As you're well aware, this is my last meeting. It's been truly one of the greatest honors of my life in public service, tenure to have served on this Commissioner's Court. In 2010, voters gave me an opportunity to serve. I want to say thank you to all my friends and mentors over the past 30 years, some of which are in this audience, that have provided advice and guidance. There are too many to list, and we've made some lifelong memories along the way. My constituents have always given me their support, but also let me know when they disagreed with me. Both were needed and appreciated. I've learned a lot over the years through my mistakes and obstacles, and I've overcome the goal to succeed. This most recent position in public service has given me a voice and a platform to provide action, communication, and information for the citizens of Precinct 2. And if you recall, that was my platform back in 2009. The lessons I've learned will enrich who I am and where I go from here. I want to personally thank everyone who helped get me elected in 2010. I hope I've made you proud. You chose me to serve our community, and even those who did not vote for me, I hope I've earned your trust and respect. I certainly recognize the citizens of Precinct 2 have entrusted me with a tremendous opportunity to represent them on Commissioner's Court as a Road and Bridge Commissioner. Obviously, there's been many important decisions made during each Commissioner's Court and during budget times. When the dust settled and the smoke cleared, the real work is done in the precinct, as all of our commissioners know. We've done some great projects together with the team that we have at Precinct 2 over the last 11 years. To put time in perspective, I've participated in approximately 560 Commissioner's Court meetings, not including workshops, other meetings, community meetings. During my time at the county, either as a deputy sheriff or elected official, I've been involved in many emergency situations. One of the first evacuations, Hurricane Andrew in 1992. And then, of course, the ice storm of 97, Hurricanes Rita, Ike, Humberto, Harvey, Imelda, Laura, and Delta, and then the ice storm. Also, we have completed numerous road and bridge drainage projects over the last 11 years. In our precinct, we have 6 bridges in our inventory, and we've completely rebuilt 5 of them brand new, and 80 miles of roadway in the precinct. Jefferson County, as you all know, has been my passion for the last 30 years. I remember my first day as a corrections officer at this jail here in the annex, and moving to the new jail. Time has flown by. I never dreamed in a million years that I'd be sitting up here. And I consider it a privilege to have been able to do that. It's been a very interesting and rewarding time for me. I've had the great honor to serve our country as a veteran in the United States Marine Corps. I've served in probation, the Sheriff's Office, and corrections on patrol, a position in SWAT, Fugitive Warrant Division, and other special assignments. Also had the great opportunity to have a commercial rated pilot's license and fly for the Sheriff's Office. And then ultimately, at the end of my career at the Sheriff's Office, being able to attend the FBI National Academy was one of the greatest honors. And then, of course, being your commissioner of Precinct 2. In the approximate 560 meetings that I've been in Commissioner's Court, we may not have always voted the same or agreed on issues where there was some intense discussion, but we never disrespected one another, not once. We always respected each other's opinion and what we believed in and what we believed was best for our individual constituents. We could always agree to disagree. True governance is about compromise. This is most visible during our budget workshops for me, because you have one pot of money and you have elected officials from different parties coming to dip out of that one pot of money. And I never looked at a party affiliation. I looked at what was best for the county, what was best for the elected official to serve their constituents in a bipartisan way. Always looking at budget constraints, of course. The pendulum of political majority swings back and forth. It's important we remember that. And that as governing bodies, we work together and compromise when that we can serve our citizens in a better way. During my tenure as commissioner, I've worked for all of the citizens of Precinct 2, regardless of party affiliation. When someone calls my office, they don't, and I don't ask, is a Republican pothole or Democrat pothole. It's just a pothole that won't fit. And that was something that I always went by. And I've always heard local politics is closer to the people, and it is. We all know that. We know our constituents by first name. We have their cell phones, they have our cell phones, and that's the way I've always conducted business. We should always try to be a good example, and I think this court has been a good example for other governing bodies in this county and in this region in the way we work together. Even though we may not always agree, we always work together, and I think we're a shining light to some others. I thank each of you for the help you've given me over the past decade to make some good things happen in Jefferson County. I'm going to be here, keep the coffee pot warm. You will see me. The end of my service with Jefferson County is not the end, but the beginning of what the future holds. A new chapter will begin with my wife soon. We were very fortunate to start our careers young. So once we've recharged our batteries, you know, she's going to put me to work doing something. I'm sure of it. But I want you each to know how much I've enjoyed working with you and the people in the audience. You've made me a better person. The department heads, you know, I just was here temporarily in this seat. There'll be somebody come before me, like the 20 other commissioners before me. And I want to thank each of you for what you've done to help me to be a better person. So, thank you.
Commission, now we're going to tell the real truth. Take that phone mic and show us that grandbaby. And then you say, pick him up from the sideline and then melt him.
Yeah.
You understand what life is really all about. Yeah. We appreciate working with you, man.
Yeah, it's been an honor and a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to work for you. Of course, we'll be doing a resolution for you. I appreciate it. Last week, you went up to see the brand new grandbaby and got stuck in Austin, but I appreciated the fact that you were in constant contact with me and your crew while you were gone via phone. It glad you were able to finally get out of the frozen road and back home. You will be missed here. Did sign an order yesterday morning appointing Darrell Bush as your replacement, and Chief Bush is in the audience today. If you want to take away Chief, and we'll look forward to you filling his unexpired term until the voters decide who they want to select as their representative to replace Commissioner Weaver semi-permanently. Behalf of the county, I just want you to know that all of us wish you the very, very best and many happy years of enjoyment of your family.
Thank you.
Right, and I agree, Commissioner, and I want to thank you for your service as Marine, a peace officer, a commissioner, and then working right next to my precinct. We got a lot of good things done, and drainage is one of the top things that, of course, you wanted concrete ditches in your precinct, and I say only if they take it all the way to the channel. I'm going to tell y'all a quick story that I'm driving through. My brother lives in Needham, right off of Spurlock there. So I'm driving through Needham one day, me and my wife, and I see this guy running down what's that street? 27th Street, I believe. So I rolled up on him, you know, and being a cop, but he didn't look nervous. I mean, I thought he jumped because I pulled real close to him and I told him, I said, we don't let your kind running out, neighbor.
I remember that.
You remember that? And later on, he got sick and I said, man, that guy in great shape, man. So, you know, God spared your life and that means he got some good things for you to raise that grandbaby. And it was an honor and a pleasure working with you. I mean, and I totally agree with you. I think we set the example not for just the world, but the national level, the state level, on how we get along. We may not agree all the time, but the respect has always been there and will continue to be there. Congratulations. Enjoy life up there on Hippie Island.
Thank you. I better stay away from that.
I'd like to also add a little thanks. I've not had the pleasure of being a commissioner with you very long, but I've known you for a long time, and I appreciate all the interaction we've always had. And I appreciate when I was coming to be commissioner, you invited me down to your office and gave me some pointers and took the time, and we kicked off a project based on that. And I got a commitment from you this morning that you're not going to leave completely until my project's finished. So,
I'll get your project, yeah.
I appreciate that very much and wish you the very best.
Yeah, Commissioner Senegal, Commissioner Weaver told me this morning before court, he said, you know, I may not have always agreed with Senegal, he said, but I always respected his right to be wrong.
True. You've had some great time.
True.
Judge, I have one last thing that I want to bring to the attention of. It's a group, and Dr. Brown, John Eugene, which is a president, 100 black men, they went out because of the storm. They went out to ATB and they surprised some people by giving $50 cards for them. And that, you know, let me tell you, we have a lot of people hurting in our community because that was a heck of a lot of pipes, but all you had to do was go to the hardware stores like you stated. It's a heck of a lot of people still hurting in our community. So whatever any group does is a plus, and that's why I want to thank you, Patrick, for working so hard with regional planning to get it set up along those lines and for those reimbursements, because people in need, and that's what we're about. That's what this court has been about. It's about taking care of our constituents, and I hope that's what we continue to do. But I want to make sure I gave a shout out to those guys.
Thank you, Commissioner. And Deb, while we're on the subject, I said something last week half jokingly, but really serious, and last week I said, hey, Commissioner's Court, next week we need to talk about hiring somebody from Minnesota who can come down here and make sure that we don't have these experiences in county buildings again. And I'm really serious about that. I think we need to do something about getting a consultant to look at our building. And McGriff, our insurance carrier, may very well provide this free of charge. And so if you'll look into that, Mr. Erickson, but I'd just like to see us weatherproof our buildings and like to have a study done of all of our buildings so that we can avoid any busted pipes or any problems like we experienced during this event in numerous buildings in the future.
Include fuel.
Yeah, would it include fuel dispensing facilities.
Including the corrections.
And including corrections and the precinct barns and everything, the tax offices. I think we fared pretty good here at the courthouse with maintenance running around here. I had some problems down in South County, of course, over more interruptions with the water, but we should relatively inexpensively be able to ameliorate those issues as we move forward.
We had 5 water breaks down at precinct building.
Judge, one thing that I want to address in terms of, since we're talking about
come on
that,
up here,
that we experienced in the correctional facility was with New Johnson Control, where the electricity is centrally controlled. That doesn't work during an ice storm in a dorm setting. And so we've got to get some control over the temperatures. I think on site.
When you freeze them?
Yeah, it makes for freezing.
Yeah.
And so, we had to go out there, we had to try to find additional blankets and portable heaters on the fly. And that's tough once the storm hits. And so that's something that I think none of us, thought about prior to, when we brought Johnson Control in, it's great to be able to be efficient and safe. But when something like that happens, it becomes kind of burdensome.
Patrick, let's invite them back out, please.
Well, for explanation, I had the same problem in the sub-courthouse where we were freezing and I thought it was some boiler issue, and I found out yesterday after calling Steve with Johnson Control that we didn't have permission to lower, to raise the temperature. I think it's a permission issue.
We were kind of told that too. That's, yeah. I can't be looking for people to
that's what I'm saying too.
When I got 1,000 inmates in the freezer and we ended up having to give suicide blankets and you know, try to purchase additional blankets and resources. And so, yeah, we need to sit down and
can
have that conversation.
Can we have a workshop on that fact?
Yeah.
Because I think we need to visit on things like this.
Yeah, and it might take us a contractual amendment to relieve them of the guaranteed savings.
Right. Well, there's a guy coming down to train my maintenance guys on how to override the system. And I think I didn't know y'all had the same problem, but.
Well, not just for inmates, also because we have now our officers sleeping there.
Yeah.
And so the administration knows everything was cold. And so we got to fix that.
It's a procedure for overriding the system, and that's what I'm telling Steve. I didn't know that. We're freezing in. I'm sitting in my office yesterday, and I'm fussing at the guy for Johnson Control, and he has this other guy that's over the project do something in, where is he? Chicago. So, and I start sweating just that quick. So I believe it's an override permission that I know they need, because I know I need it in South County. Hopefully they won't have with that permission, but it's something, it's a procedure. He's going to train out.
It definitely caused some issues. It might actually cause an issue in the basement with our coils there.
Yeah.
For the circulation of the water.
Okay, I've gotten a few calls and texts from people that were very, very concerned about what might happen to their utility bill. There's been some reports on the radio, for instance, this morning, that a couple in Harris County got a $17,293 utility bill for the last month. And a lot of people over here are concerned that they're going to be hit with huge bills. Know that Harris County is in ERCOT, the Energy Reliability Council of Texas, which had deregulated some in the big city, so people were able to go out and choose their own carriers. And some of the agreements that they signed said that they were going to pay based on the cost of fuel to the electrical provider, which is why that couple got that $17,000 bill. Entergy is still a regulated carrier, not a member of ERCOT. I'm not saying that the bills won't go up, because they're going to pay more for their fuel, which is part of their rate base, so we may have an increase in bill, but I don't think anybody's going to be getting $17,000 bill.
It's a pass-through cost, too.
Right? Yeah. The cost of natural gas is pass-through cost. So I think we're safe here. And, you know, the problems that they experienced in the rest of Texas, we really didn't experience here. Entergy got everything back up and running pretty darn quickly, and we were very fortunate. But I just, before everybody got overly concerned about what their utility bills might do, I wanted to make clear that there's a difference between the Entergy served areas and the other parts of Texas that are served by ERCOT. Anything you wanted to add, Commissioner Pierce?
No, sir. We are a member of a regional planning group called MISO, and it does, I think it stretches from Canada up to the Gulf. It's a huge piece, and there were some curtailments during that time through the MISO orders, but the cost is regulated. Fuel is a pass-through cost.
All right. Anything further? If not, then we are adjourned. Thank you so much for being here.